things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 9 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And before we get going, just want to let you know, listener, that I have to do this from my laptop, which is just using the computer microphone because I have some equipment issues in my booth, which I'll need to take care of soon. But anyways, the Packers finally put one together. They beat the Rams 20-3. But it was, we won, but it was far from pretty, that's for sure.
Yeah, in a lot of areas, though, I think we looked quite improved. I know the Rams are not a great team, but they still have some key pieces that are still there from when they won the Super Bowl. Sean McVay is a good coach. They're having a rough year, but I think a lot of areas the Packers look like they really improved in this game. But it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell if we've taken a step forward this season or if we were playing a bad team with Brett Rippon at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we're now 3-5. It's great to get a win in the win column. Well, you know what I mean. I'm watching this game and I just felt sometimes like we were playing the Bears. You know, with some of the miscues that we had, we had, eight penalties for 57 yards. Mm-hmm. We had turnovers again.
Yeah, the turnovers really hurt us, especially because they came at a bad time in the game. The penalties got better in the second half, but that first half was just, oh my God, constant, especially the offsides penalties.
Oh.
And I get that they don't always call it so tight. But they've made it clear they're going to be watching closer on those ever now that we have the tush push or the brotherly shove. I think they're trying to rebrand it as NFL commentators. I don't think they want to keep saying tush all the time on national TV. So they started calling it the brotherly shove.
Oh, man.
So I think that's the main motivation behind them getting stricter on offsides, because I saw it in some other games on Sunday. I also watched the Eagles-Cowboys game. There was actually a few points watching the Eagles play where they have the shot right down the line of scrimmage. I'm like, looking at him like, man, some of these players sure look offsides, especially by the standards of our game.
Yeah.
And then like three plays later, they called two in a row. And I'm like, okay, all right, they're calling it. I feel better about our game.
What do you think? Did you watch the whole game?
Yeah, it was a good game. It's like they're playing a different sport out there than the Packers this year, though. Like some of the things they were doing, I'm like, oh man, that was good. I haven't seen a ton of great offense so far this year.
Yeah, that's the thing we've been talking about all year with Love, with his you got to keep it limited. I mean, you know, you'd love to believe that Love knows the playbook because he's been around for 3 mm-hmm. years, but you still got to give the guy a chance to learn on the field. So, yeah, I do miss some of those plays. I did like that end around. That was pretty darn cool.
The end around?
Yeah, I can't remember who was it that ran it. They got...
The one to Jaden Reed, the rookie?
Yeah.
21 yards. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really nice. We had the really nice touchdown pass on the double fake screen pass.
That was
and then to Musgrave sweet. Up the middle. I was a little disappointed Musgrave. I think he has to be there for the extra point or something, but he did not Lambeau leap. And honestly, have we seen any Lambeau leaps this season?
Well, we haven't scored that much.
That's a good point. Maybe when we do score, the game isn't really an exciting point. Going back to your point on Jordan Love, setting him up kind of for success, I do think they did that well in this game. I think it was kind of like, we've had some rough games. We've been really slinging the ball around in the second half because we're trying to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do like, let's set him up for success, because we had a lot of, you know, he's been struggling on the deep ball. We didn't throw it deep a ton this game. We had a really nice ball to Watson. Unfortunately, he went out with an injury with that one contested catch.
One
he is made of glass. But, you know, a lot of throws out to the side, which Love seems really good at and quick on. And then a lot of just kind of checkdowns, always taking his checkdown when it was there and he didn't have that first or second read open. So he ended up going 20 of 26, 228 yards and a touchdown. Not too bad of a stat line.
No. He was 6 of 8 on passes of 10 yards or more.
Which is a big improvement.
Yeah, that's 75%, which he was the league's worst at 36% before the game. Completed 85% of his passes to his wide receivers, 11 of the 13. And he came into the week, again, with the league worst 50% rating for those throws. So,
gotcha. But yeah, I think he looked overall, he looks calm out there. He always looks calm and confident, which is good to see from a young guy. I think it's just, it seems like his decision-making is kind of slow. It looks like he goes through his progressions kind of slow. And I mean, it resulted in, he had 4 sacks this game. And I would say 3 of them were his fault, not the lines.
Oh, there was one of them that was just like the worst.
That was at the end of the second half. Yeah.
I backed it up so I could count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I got to 27,000 and I quit.
Well, it's because you forgot to unpause.
Good one.
I think you're talking about the one at the end of the first half, which was frustrating because we're driving to get into field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take a sack there, you know, and that's kind of the slow decision making and slow progression that I think we've seen from him. But if you recall, when Aaron Rodgers came in his first season as a full season as a starter after Favre, the main knock we had on him and complained about his whole first year as a starter was that he held the ball too long, took too many sacks.
Mm.
So I think it's just kind of learning that timing, having that alarm kind of set itself in your head that I need to get the ball out now, even if I don't have a perfect option.
Yeah, that's always interesting to me that you get to the NFL. I mean, you've been playing probably at a pretty high level since high school. And you still have to learn the clock in your head bit. I mean, it should be.
I think it's a different ball game, though, once you get to the pros.
You mean faster?
Faster. I think guys are getting to you that you wouldn't have expected to before. Because, like, you know, a lot of these guys were, you go back to them in high school, they're superstars. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on top of the world. No one can beat them. College, a lot of them are still, you know, they're the top of the pile, but guys are getting a lot better, but there's still a huge skill differential. You know, you have guys who are slower, guys who can't, you know, get through a double team and stuff. And now you're up against the Aaron Donalds of the world who will throw two guys aside, dive at you and grab your ankle before you even can blink. You know,
like, he wouldn't have made, I think I know the play you're talking about, where he was trying to run it into the end zone. Or get the first down, but there's no way he was going to get that. That was a bad decision right there.
Ye of little faith.
But Aaron Donald, oh man, that guy for his size, he is such an athlete. He can move so fast. He's chasing down quarterbacks and running backs. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, he looked really good out there. We haven't had the most consistent offensive line this season to deal with the Aaron Donalds of the world, because when you come up against a guy like that, your communication needs to be top notch, which the right side of our line, I don't think has had any inconsistencies this year. I think they've been that duo the whole year. It's that center and left side of the line who we've just had so much rotation there.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to figure out. Sean Ryan, I believe I have that name right, came in at right guard. Played 7 snaps this game and looked pretty good. Like, overall, I think he looked like one of our better options right now. And I know they've said that he is He's a backup because he doesn't have the technical skills down that he needs to yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he went up one-on-one against against Donald twice and stood up Donald both times solo.
Thanks.
So if you can do that without having the fundamentals down, you know, that's a pretty bright future there.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in to relieve John Runyon. So
Go ahead. Say the field looked slick at times, like they were slipping around pretty good.
No, they were slipping a lot. Yeah. And I don't know. It feels like it's a pretty consistent issue at least a couple times a season with Lambeau. And every time it happens, it makes you think of the Ice Bowl.
Yeah.
Where the pipes underneath the field burst and flooded and then froze the whole field. It's like Lambeau always has some kind of, you know, issue a few times a year, even though they go, what do you imagine? They spend millions on that? Just that 100-yard patch of grass?
Yeah, yeah. So with this win, Matt LaFleur reached 50 wins and became the second fastest head coach to hit that mark for the Packers. The fastest coach to hit 50? His name's on the stadium.
Hmm. Not bad.
No, not bad at all. My favorite play, 14:23 left in the second quarter. Aaron Jones runs in a touchdown, a TD in the first half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The first TD in the first half in 49 days.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. I mean, it's also our first win in over 40 days.
Yeah.
So it's weird how that lines up. But I mean, how long have we been complaining about the fact that we get these halftime or postgame interviews with LaFleur and he's saying, oh, I know we need to get Jones the ball more. You know, that's something I need to look at in the tape, how we can do that. I need to address that. And then we see the same thing.
Yep.
Finally, we got to see some production out of Jones in this game. He had 20 carries and four receptions. So 24 touches total. I think he had 34 so far on the season before this game. So he almost matched his season total. He was not a world beater. You know, he got 73 rushing yards. Total yards ended up at 99. He had that rushing touchdown as well. But the fact that he was able to do enough for us the whole game and that we stuck with him, I think is huge. Because he did, you know, yeah, and he had some good plays. He didn't have any of his electric, huge plays that we see from him a lot. But every time he's on the field, the defense also has to adjust what they're doing. You know, they need to focus on him because he is that big play guy. So mm-hmm. I think it also opens up a lot of the rest of our offense when we stick with Jones.
I don't know if you saw it, but A.J. Dillon actually sidestepped a guy.
He's done that a couple times in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he didn't look bad. He had 9 carries for 40 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, average of 4.4. I think the coaches finally got through to him and said, I know there's this narrative in commentators that you are a beast and no one can bring you down, but everyone is bringing you down. Let's try going around someone, see what happens. Because it's so frustrating every game to hear him, oh, he's a tough guy to bring down. That was impressive. Or like, oh, you don't see him get brought down right away much. It's like, this is every game we see this happening with him. Yeah. He is not a run, just because his legs are like, you know, trees doesn't mean he's going to run through everyone.
Emmanuel Wilson,
mm-hmm.
boy, had a nice cleanup there at the end of the game.
Yeah, he had a nice 31-yarder. We haven't seen much of him yet. I thought when Aaron Jones was hurt, I thought we would see more Emmanuel Wilson, like splitting carries pretty evenly with A.J. Dillon, but we did not see that. It might just be a product of him being a rookie and then working him in slowly, but we did not see.
I like his running style.
I do too. He's got kind of an Aaron Jones running style.
Yeah, and a little thicker.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. He's got kind of that Maurice Jones-Drew build.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, if he could match the production. But so we have some nice potential. We have Aaron Jones getting the ball more in the rushing game. Emmanuel Wilson looked good in his minimal touches at the end. Nice to have that rising potential there. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about our receiving core? Because that is something we know the Packers have not invested much in a long time.
Well, I was happy for Musgrave. Mm-hmm. That was really a pretty touchdown that they did there. He had three receptions. I feel like there's a lot of potential there with these young receivers.
With Musgrave? Oh, with the receivers as a whole?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Christian Watson. If it's just they're doubling him or he's just not able to get away from the receivers. Mm-hmm. I really, really need to see Matt LaFleur either tell Love, listen, if it's over 30 yards, don't throw it. Because right now you're not throwing the long ball. You're throwing the short long ball. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hurting a bit with Watson and some of the other receivers, having to come back and fight for the ball because it's underthrown. Mm-hmm. But I watch some of these blocks that the receivers are doing, and that's huge. That's great stuff.
It is. I think Luke Musgrave is going to be a stud in a couple of years at tight end. He's fast. He's physical. He can catch really well. He can't catch a long ball and stay on his feet and keep running, but that's okay. I think that will come with time. He can't turn around to catch it and then turn back around and run.
That is true. Yeah.
but I think he's going to be really good.
You know what? He's kind of like our dog, Jazz. She gets, we call them the zoomies, and she just starts going manic in our backyard. She just goes running so fast, but every once in a while, her rear end is going faster than her head end, and it just kind of takes her out a little bit. I think maybe that's Musgrave. His rear end has taken over his head end.
That's good technical terminology you're using for your analysis. Head end.
I feel like John Madden. One knee.
There you go. Dontavian Wicks, I think, has looked like a stud out there in his rookie season. Romeo Dubs is looking good. Jaden Reed has had, some really bright flashes at rookie. I think part of the issue with our receiving core right now is that Romeo Dubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks are fundamentally the same wide receiver. They are compact. They're fast. And they're kind of, short. They are not that catch the ball down the field, fight for the contested ball type receiver. I think they're all really good, but there's only so many spots in an offense you can put a guy with that skill set. Yeah. And Christian Watson is not holding up his end of the bargain as the deep ball threat.
I agree.
I've heard now almost, the whole season as the times Watson's been out there, that it looks like a lack of effort much of the time, that he's giving up on routes or he's kind of jogging through a route when he knows that there's not a chance the ball will come to him, things like that, especially like reports back from fans who go to the game and see it live, where the camera's not necessarily focused,
right?
That it looks like Watson just has a hard time putting in the effort.
I hope that's not true. And if it is, I hope that they nip it. Because you can't have that. I mean, he's certainly not earned it.
I also feel like that's, knowing you, that's one of your biggest pet peeves in the NFL is diva receivers who don't put in the effort.
Well, it's diva players in general. It's wide receivers tend to be the most diva. Mm-hmm. But, I've seen it with linebackers and defensive linemen and, it seems to be the wide receivers. But, speaking of the receivers, that fumble by Wicks, that was so strange. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He tried to reach out to get the first down and fumble the ball and then tries to get it and hits it up in the air.
Yeah, it reminded me of the touchdown catch we had the other week where it got scooped out of the one receiver's arms, threw, like, flew past the defender into our other receiver's hands for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Just kind of fluky, perfectly placed where it would need to be for that to happen. I really liked afterwards seeing Wicks walking off with his head down, and you saw Aaron Jones run up and, like, lift his head up and tell him, like, you could basically see Jones going, like, mistakes happen, let's go win the game type thing, you know?
That's so cool.
That was cool as a team. And as a team, we talk all the time, probably almost every episode, about the energy that they're playing with, you know, the cohesiveness, the, like, will to win compared to the other team. Mm-hmm. That felt like it was there this game. It felt like they were trying. It felt like they were flying around. It felt like they were supporting each other, trying to win the game.
Yeah.
And I saw afterwards that a big part of it was the Rasul Douglas trade, which happened shortly after we recorded last week, so we didn't get to talk about it. That was huge for this team. I know a lot of fans were kind of very surprised. I was surprised.
I was.
Yeah. But they talked a lot this season about him being a leader in the locker room. You know, the defense would all crowd around his locker, figure out what to do different after a loss. He was a big emotional leader. And some of the players said afterwards that, like, that trade woke them up. Like, anyone can go. We need to go out there and produce.
You know, that, you know, I get it. We're all human. But, man, when you've lost four games in a row, what do you need? I mean, it's in these contracts. So many of these guys are, like, on their last year for their contract or their renewal possibly coming up. But it's like, what do you need to get you excited to go out there and play? But if that's what it took, you know, and if they can keep this momentum, it'll be worth it.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned to you the other day that the Packers defense has not really been the problem. You know, like, we're 10th in the league in most categories, above average.
Yeah, holding teams.
Yeah. Holding teams to a decent score. I know we're playing against Brett Rypien, but this was a dominant defensive performance. We held them to 3 points. They never once entered the red zone, even under 200 total yards. And that's including us having four starters out and losing Kenny Clark midway through the game.
Oh, I hated to see that.
Mm-hmm. Considering he's, like, our only veteran on the front.
Did he come back?
I don't believe he did.
I don't recall. I mean, I think it's his shoulder, but,
and we don't have the injury report yet, but I did see a news report with Watson. They're doing further tests, but he passed concussion protocol, so no concussion, and he got a chest and shoulder injury that they think are not serious.
That's good to hear. You know, that 34-yard field goal miss was not good.
Yeah. Not great, but I can do it.
Mason Crosby's still over there.
I mean, Anders has looked pretty good this season. I feel like he's a rookie. He didn't miss a field goal for the first handful of weeks. I think we can give him a little bit of a break.
Why aren't you the softy today? Jeez.
It's amazing what a win will do to you. Huh?
Yeah.
It did look bad in contrast to the fact that I think it was shortly after the Rams kicked their field goal, one field goal of the game. And they were talking about their rookie kicker being 17 of 17 on the year, close to a record. It's like, it does make our guy look a little lower in comparison. But I've been happy with Anders overall.
Well, I mean, I know we're kind of moving around different directions here, but next four games coming up for the Pack, we're at Pittsburgh, home against the Chargers, then the Lions in Detroit for Thanksgiving. My gosh, is that coming fast. And then we take Kansas City at home. So we're 3-5. That's not an easy schedule to try and keep the wins popping up. But we'll see. Including the Super Bowl 65, six of the last eight games between Pittsburgh and the Packers have been decided by 7 points or less.
So don't bet against the spread, huh?
I would. I thought it was interesting. The last time the Packers won in Pittsburgh, 1970, 7-0.
Who is the quarterback?
Heck of I know.
Hey, you were the one watching.
Yeah, 4 years old.
Yeah, kindergarten, Mike, rooting on the Pack. Yeah, that. I mean, it's interesting. The Steelers have been kind of a weird team this year. They've been winning a good amount of their games. What is their record right now? Let me look. But they have not looked great. They're 5-3. They haven't looked great in any game though. One of the podcasts I listen to, the host is a Steelers fan, so he'll bring them up sometimes. And they look very inconsistent. They don't look like they're a threat with the ball most of the time, but they get the win in the end. And that's the same reason when we did the picks last week, we had that Steelers game in there because they were playing the Titans on primetime. And I took the Steelers because they find weird ways to win, and they ended up pulling that one out. So I have no idea what to expect.
Who's their quarterback? Pickett?
Yeah, right. Kenny Pickett.
I think he's been kind of up and down, hasn't he? He's That's tough when your quarterback's inconsistent like that.
So yeah, I think it's his second year now only.
Hey, did you hear where the 2025 NFL draft is going to be held?
Green Bay.
And the dates have been
Green Bay.
The dates are going to be April 24th, 25th, and 26th. So that's going to be pretty wild having it up in Green Bay. April.
You saying you want to go?
Whether you're going to get in April, you're there in Green Bay.
You saying you want to go?
Probably not. No. Last draft was in Kansas City, and they had over 312,000 people come.
I've never really understood the appeal of going to watch the draft live. It's boring enough on TV with all the filler.
I so agree with you.
you have to be a pretty diehard fan to be going to the draft, paying that money, getting a hotel room. But
I was looking at
it's big business.
What was the in Germany, Frankfurt? They played. Who was it that played in?
Was that the Titans Chargers? Titans Steelers, I mean. Oh no, it was Dolphins Chiefs.
That's
Dolphins
it.
Dolphins Chiefs.
And I'm looking at these fans, you know, and you can tell that they look like NFL fans, not some people that are locals that want to go to the game. But I think, can you imagine the amount of money that you have to fork out to fly over, put yourself up, feed yourself, the tickets and everything else? You got to fly back. And hopefully you're not going there. If your team doesn't win, hopefully you're going to be okay with the trip.
I think the majority of them are Germans, not people traveling to Germany.
I think there's a lot of people that follow them.
There might be, but there is a huge football following in Germany, American football following. Yeah. And I know that's a big reason they've been trying to get it to Germany since they started the London games, because Germany has a big following. We have quite a few listeners in Germany for some reason. But also, my favorite thing from the London games, or like now that Frankfurt game, and I haven't noticed it in the Mexico City one, but I love how excited the crowd gets for the field goals.
I know.
They just go nuts for the big kicks. And it's just, I don't know why, it just makes me smile. It's like they have all these exciting things happen and they don't always quite understand what the call means or something. But a field goal goes up from 40 something yards. Oh boy, are they ready to lose their minds.
Yeah, they're gonna hoot and holler now. Yeah, that's cool. Don't know. It's your mom and I were talking about how you know, the NFL eventually will have a team over there for at least part of the year.
Yeah, the London Jaguars.
The London what?
Jaguars.
Oh, that's what the rumors have been for the past few years, is that they're going to end up doing that. But and then the Jaguars are also trying to fleece their public and get a new stadium built. So it's like, so why? So you can play half your games in London?
Yeah, it's kind of a hard sell at that point, but
yeah,
it's amazing the push they have locally for the tax money towards stadiums. I'm always surprised how much they can get just done for them free for the privilege of putting the team there.
We've talked about it before. It's like, why do people give rich people money? Why do people give rich people free food and accommodations? It's just like, they can afford it. Hey, you got any more you want to cover on that game?
Let me look back a couple things. Not a ton. I mean, we talked about the defense being stellar. We didn't really talk about any individual performances. Carrington Valentine looked amazing out there filling in Rasul Douglas's role. That was really nice to see. Jonathan Owens has been flying around. Simone Biles's husband. I messed up. I thought Christian Watson was married to Simone Biles. But I had a student who corrected me and was disgusted that I did not know that as a Packers fan.
Oh, man.
Jair Alexander, I thought, had a really good game. He has been struggling this year. He's been kind of fighting through injuries. He looked like the old Jair Alexander. He was breaking up passes, getting between receivers and the ball, and just, you know, making it really hard to get anything going in the passing game. Every time they went to go to their number one, it felt like Jair was there to swat the ball away.
Yeah, I thought they played a solid game. I mean, across the board, I thought, you know, even what's his face got interception. Is that Ness?
Lucas Van Ness, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been liking what I've seen from him, too. He looks good. He's our first round pick. He's had some nice moments in the last few weeks. My last thing to touch on this game is Keyshawn Nixon. Not so much in the defense, but, you know, we were so excited to see him get signed again last year because of the, you know, electric kick returns. The problem is this season, everyone is kicking out the back of the end zone to avoid Nixon because they know now what he can do. And they know he'll take it from 9 yards deep in the end zone if he can catch it.
Yep.
So I don't think we're going to see many kickoffs go to him until we get some cold weather where they can't kick it as far.
Excuse me.
But they put him in at punt return for one punt return this game. I don't know if it was an issue with Jaden Reed not able to go or if it was Nixon getting frustrated saying, hey, I'm not getting to return these kicks. Put me in to return a punt. Because typically you don't play a starter on punt return in the, you know, because either they're going to have to go right back out on the field on offense or they were just on defense, so they're a little tired to be returning a punt. But I'm all for it. You know, he's so dangerous. He caught one. It didn't look like he had much room, and he still scampered for 15 yards.
Yeah, I don't know what if it was a kickoff or I think it was a punt. But either way, he got it, and then he just kind of started moving one way slowly, and then he goes.
Yeah, that was the kickoff. He had one kickoff return for 51 yards, got it to midfield, and it's like, no wonder they avoid kicking to him, because if he gets the ball, he is so dangerous. And I don't know if I've ever been a Packers fan when we've had a dangerous returner.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'd have to go back through the books and take a look. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I think that didn't Woodson return some kicks?
Yeah, but was he, I don't know. Was he as dangerous that like you felt like he could always take it back? I know he had some good returns, but I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But also to add to that, I feel just looking at the punt returns and especially the kick returns, you can just see the old hat on a hat, helmet on a helmet. Guys are blocking. There's lanes. You're finally being able to have lanes. And it's just the coaching. I think that we're fortunate to have our special teams coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's done a good job. I don't think he's been Like, I don't think this was the best game for our special teams overall. We missed another kick.
Yep.
We were penalized 3 times on special teams alone, which that's kind of a huge deal. When you have one play every now and then on special teams, yep, you have to avoid getting a penalty. So I think we just see too many mistakes. I think Rich Bisaccia, everything we've heard, you know, they always call him the special teams whisperer. I think he'll get the group where they need to be, but I did think they would have progressed a little more by now. But, you know, looking back, we were historically bad on special teams for quite a while. Like, yeah, it was our biggest liability. We would go a whole season with like out more than 10-yard punt return, more than a 10-yard punt return. Like,
or when we punted, we would hold our breath, you know, because we didn't think we'd be able to stop them. So,
and that is a big difference now. I don't feel, I don't feel as nervous on special teams. So that is definitely an improvement.
That's good.
So do you feel overall then? I know we talked at the beginning, it was hard to know if we improved as a team this game or if it was because we were playing a bad team. Do you feel we improved in areas?
I feel we improved, but I'm certainly not much more optimistic than I was before. I need to see another game and see us continue to improve. And I think Pittsburgh could be a good one for us.
Well, I guarantee you there's a decent number of Packer fans out there upset that we won this game. Because when they saw us get to 2-5, all they're thinking is draft.
Right. For another quarterback.
Another quarterback or, you know, pass rusher or something. Like, they just see the stars in the draft and they don't want another win of the season. That has never been something that sits well with me. I am not good at playing to lose anything. And I don't really want to watch a team that I cheer for do the same. So I'm glad we're still going out there and fighting.
Are you still listening to Hidden Brain podcast?
No.
They did a podcast with a guy. He's kind of like a statistics person. And they were talking about how people, their perception of what's reality is often skewed. And in one case, he said that the stats are there for cost to benefit ratio on drafting in the first round, especially, you know, you want to be in that first 10, 12 spots for sure. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's been proven over and over that you're better off picking later in the first round or you're in the second round, trading back. And because it's proven, especially with money, because you got to pay more for your first rounder, depending on where they were picked and then how they end up. Because if you pick wrong, it's devastating.
Yeah. And most of it's a lottery, you know, lottery pick.
Yeah.
Because you never know how a guy's going to turn out. We have all the scouts in the world, and every year you see so many guys underperform what scouts would think. So many guys become stars out of nowhere that no one gave a chance.
Right.
Scouting is not a perfect art in the NFL. Oh, it is not an easy thing to do. You are trying to get a lottery pick. And so I've always felt like these teams who take picks and trade it for known entities, veterans who they know what they're getting, I've always thought that was a smart move. Yes, it's not as easy financially as having a rookie contract, but you're taking a chance on a draft pick and trading it for something solid and guaranteed. I've always felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some very good talent in the second round and third round. So, and like you said, you know, you guys get undrafted and they end up becoming...
I mean, we traded Rasul Douglas for a fourth rounder.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
It is. After we extended them just last year.
All right. Are you ready for the game ball, sir?
I am ready.
Hit me. And now it's time for the game ball.
This week's game ball goes to Harrington Mr. Shutdown Valentine. Coming in for Rasul Douglas after the trade, he played all 58 defensive snaps, broke up three passes, did not give up a catch in his coverage, defended a third down pass, forced a punt, made a stop for no gain on Daryl Henderson, and defended two attempts to the rookie Puka Nacua. Nearly had an interception on a deflected pass late in the game. He did everything right coming in for this game as a starter.
Yeah.
So congrats, Carrington.
Yeah, congratulations, sir. And some of the secondary play was really fun to watch. I mean, I know that, again, you got a quarterback who's not great, and some might say he's not good. But it just, you could see there were some passes that easily could have been made, but guys were just defending them better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being pretty aggressive on the ball, too. Not just playing the receiver's eyes, playing the receiver's hands, but watching the quarterback, watching the ball, and trying to break it up. Mm-hmm. Jair Alexander, just real quick, one thing I forgot to bring up, had that insane play where he left his guy in the flat, backpedaled based on Rippon's eyes and where he was watching, and then almost intercepted that ball that was like 20 yards down the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Like just completely broke assignment, left his man, and almost got a pick. That's a different level of athlete right there.
Yeah.
That's like having two defenders on the field.
Yeah, it's fun to watch that stuff when it's going well. But, you know, we've been on the other side of it, too. So.
Yeah, and it's fun to see a win. We haven't talked about a win in a few weeks here. It is nice to do.
All right, do you want to go through the picks?
All right, we'll go through the picks. There was a lot of picks this last week, so I'll just bring up the ones we differed on. So we went into it, you up by one in the pick'em. We had Titans at Steelers. And remember, we do the NFC North games and primetime games for the picks. I took Steelers over the Titans and got that correct. And then the Frankfurt game, you took the Chiefs over the Dolphins. You got that correct. I then took the Vikings over the Falcons. I got that correct. You took the Packers over the Rams, and you got it. And then you also took the Chargers over the Jets on Monday Night Football, and you were correct. Meaning, going into Week 10, you are up by two.
By two?
By two.
All right.
How do you feel?
Oh, I'm just giddy with excitement.
Top of the world.
Yes.
Nothing you care about more than the pick'em.
Living the dream, my friend.
All right. Any scores from around last week you want to clean up before we move on to the picks?
Right. Let me go back. I just moved on to week 10.
Okay.
Oh, hang on.
Number three.
Thank you. Let's see. I watched a good amount of that Chiefs Dolphins game, and it was a pretty good game. I was surprised to see the Falcons lose to the Vikings. The Vikings had like their seventh backup quarterback up there, and they're able to pull it.
Well, they brought in Josh Dobbs on short notice from the Cardinals, traded for him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he came in with like just a couple days to prepare. And they said, is it Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah.
They said that he was giving him the plays to give the team and then translating the plays in the headset before the snap, saying like, that means that this receiver is going to be going this way. The running back's going to do this, dot, dot, dot. And he said that the fact that Dobbs not only was able to handle it, but you know, succeed with it was one of the most impressive things he's ever seen in his career.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Which,
Dobbs has been looking pretty good in Arizona, and that is a bad team. So he could succeed with some star power around him on the Vikings because it got some good receivers.
The Seahawks got spanked by the Ravens, 37-3. The Ravens are really looking good.
Lamar Jackson is now 18-0 against NFC teams in his career, undefeated.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's hope we do not play the Ravens ever.
Yeah, right. I know that's about it, man.
Not too many other hugely noteworthy games. The Eagles beat the Cowboys 28-23.
Yeah, the new head coach for the Raiders, interim coach, he had a win over the hapless New York football Giants 30-6.
Mm-hmm. Got that new coach bump. Yeah. All right, so let's do the pick 'em. We have Thursday Night Football. Panthers travel to Soldier Field to take on the Bears.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Panthers.
All right. I'll go with the Bears. This is kind of a toilet bowl of a Thursday night game.
It is.
Because what is the Panthers record? The Bears are 2-7. Panthers are 1-7. Oh, what? Boy. Panthers are 1-7.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm sticking with the Panthers.
All right. Man, it's crazy how they put some of the biggest stinkers sometimes on Thursday Night Football.
Oh.
Let's see. Maybe it's because they know people will watch.
Do you know that? Do you remember last year Al Michaels said he said it right on air. It was like the third stinker game of the year. And he's like, I don't know if I can keep doing this.
He's like, I have too much money to be doing something like this.
Great. Okay, then we got the
Colts at the Patriots. Yeah. Where's that game? That's our Sunday morning game. Is that Frankfurt again? Or
yeah, it's at Frankfurt.
Deutsche Bank Park. I'm taking the Colts.
The Patriots.
Oh boy. All right. Let's see. Then we'll save the Packer game for last. We have Saints traveling to the Vikings noon game.
I didn't hear. Are you taking the Colts in that game?
Yeah, I'm taking the Colts.
Okay. All right. So what's the next game?
Saints traveling to Vikings. We're going to save the Packers Steelers game for last.
I'm going to pick the Saints because I think their defense is going to be tougher on that quarterback.
Okay. I'm going to take the Vikings. They're each 5-4, same record. All right, then we have Lions traveling out to the West Coast to visit the Chargers.
Lions.
3:00 Central Time. You taking Lions?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm taking Lions. I like the Chargers, but it's hard to pick them in this one. Then we have the New York Jets traveling to Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football.
Raiders.
Raiders. All right. And I will take, gosh, I feel like the last couple times we had the Jets come up here, I took the Jets and they hurt me. But I'm going to take them again. I'm ready to get hurt again. I'll take the Jets. And then we have Broncos traveling to Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football.
Well, I have to take the home team.
Taking the Bills? Hard to pick the Broncos. I got the Bills as well. Bills are only 5-4, which is surprising.
Yeah, they've had their struggles this year.
Packers at Steelers. I'm locking the pack in.
Make that 2.
All right. We still differ on quite a few games here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 games we differ on. So by this time next week, it will be Sean +2 in the pick 'em.
Righty. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any final thoughts? Any emotions bubbling up you want to share? Any fond memories from childhood you want to?
No, I think we covered it all pretty good. I like I said in the beginning, nice to get another win. But I'm going to have to see some more. I'm not going to get my hopes up after this game. We saw some better plays, more athleticism, but just got to keep moving forward. You? Mm-hmm.
No, I'm feeling good about it. This is not far off from what I expected this season to be. You know, we have very young team. We have a quarterback getting his, experience in. Figuring everything out, I am okay with where we're at. I think it's just going to be a fun season. We have to accept it for what it is and look ahead to what this team can turn into. Because I'm pretty excited for maybe next season, but the season after that, when we have our dead cap space problem completely gone, we have these young studs coming into, you know, coming into their own, and just seeing like what we can make out of this team. Because I think we have a lot of good pieces to build on.
Well, you heard it here first, kids. Wait. Sean's giving up on this season and next season.
I'm not giving up. I just am. I'm calling Super Bowl in two seasons from now.
Oh, well, you better write that down.
Sounds good. I'll have it recorded. How about that? I want to touch on one thing before we close out the show. I asked you, 1970, who was the Packers quarterback? You claimed you couldn't remember because you were in kindergarten, but I want you to try. What's your best guess?
Lynn Dickey. And I don't think that's...
Bart Starr.
Well, he was still playing. Huh?
He was still playing. I would not have expected him to be the 1970 starting quarterback.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, okay. That surprised me when I just looked it up. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love having you as supporters for our podcast. We would also love if you join the discussion on our Facebook group, Bleeding Green and Gold. And until next time.
Go.
Pack.
Go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go.